Bible reading today is from the book of Matthew, starting at chapter 15. It's been a while since we've read Matthew. So far we've heard about his birth and ministry. He's healed, he's cast out demons, he's fed millions, thousands, calmed storms, and taught many about the kingdom of heaven. And so where we pick up the story, Jesus is in the region of Galilee, and some Pharisees have come all the way up from Jerusalem to speak to him. So we're starting at verse 1, reading to verse 31 of chapter 15. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, then they are not to honor their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up to a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel.
Thanks, Laura. Hi, everyone. It's great to see you all, and very excited to be looking at Matthew again. So last year, we got up to chapter 14. And so we're sort of picking up from there. And this is our normal pattern to work through chunks of the Bible during school term time. And one of the things, I've just been so encouraged this week. Like, I've been a Christian most of my life. Like, you know, like we're kicking on, you know, 45 years as a Christian. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. And I keep finding I come to God's word, familiar parts, and there's a freshness and an application to my heart. It's just a delight, isn't it? To sort of have these profound words from our Saviour Jesus that just keep on in their relevance 2,000 years on, and yet they are so profoundly relevant to us today. Now, having said that, I'm going to introduce things I'm going to introduce things today with John Cleese, right? Now, he's about 75 years old, so he's getting a bit of a grumpy old comedian, but hey, I'm not saying every 75-year-old is. I didn't make that connection, but have a look at the screen and just have a think about what John Cleese has got to say.
I'm offended every day. For example, the British newspapers every day offend me with their laziness, their nastiness, and their inaccuracy. But I'm not going to expect someone to stop that happening. I should just simply speak out about it. You know, sometimes when people are offended, they want somebody to just come in and say, right, stop that, to whoever is offending them. And of course, as a former chairman of the BBC once said, there are some people one would wish to offend. And I think there's truth in that too. So the idea that you have to be protected from any kind of uncomfortable emotion is one I absolutely do not subscribe to. And a fellow that I helped write two books about psychology and psychiatry, he was a renowned psychiatrist in London called Robin Skinner, said something very interesting to me. He said, if people can't control their own emotions, then they have to start trying to control other people's behavior. And when you're around super sensitive people, you cannot relax and be spontaneous because you have no idea what's going to upset them next. And that's why I've been warned recently, don't go to most university campuses, because the political correctness has been taken from being a good idea, which is let's not be mean, particularly to people who are not able to look after themselves very well. That's a good idea, to the point where any kind of criticism of any individual or group can be labelled cruel.
Okay, so it's a much longer interview than that, and very insightful. But just wonder what your thoughts are. So here is one of the funniest men of my generation. I don't know what you call that, but do you think we are a culture that is too easily offended these days? Do you think that's there's been a drift in that sort of direction? Well, I want to offer you a guarantee. And the guarantee is this: if you hang around this church long enough, you will be offended sooner or later. So even right at the start there, I risked offending our elderly. I didn't even mean to. So if you have me as your pastor, you will find something that I say offensive sooner or later. And I don't necessarily mean it. It's not necessarily a deliberate thing, but sometimes I don't set out to offend people, but sometimes I do offend people, and sometimes I'm utterly surprised I hadn't intended it one iota, and it's not just me. So there are other people here who you will find offensive, and if you haven't met any, just ask me later and I'll introduce you. No, I'm only joking there. Not going to do that. But here, this is one of the thing about human interactions, isn't it? That there's always potential. One of the risks of genuine human interaction is that we can cause offence to one another. And so I think as a church, I just want to say we need to be careful that we don't unnecessarily cause offence to one another on the one hand. But on the other hand, we want to make sure that we're not hypersensitive and too quick to take offence. I think we've got to work hard on both fronts. But where the entry point for this idea of causing offence is really the words of Jesus. Because lots of people find Jesus offensive. And I've noticed over my lifetime, more and more increasingly, it seems like Australian culture are finding the words and teachings of Jesus offensive. But it's not just out there. It's not just a problem our society has. Even those of us who have been Christians for a long time, sometimes you hear the words of Jesus and they are hard to handle. Sometimes you listen to the word of God and it really, it wounds. And you feel tempted to resist what's being said, and instinctively we can take offense at what's being said. And so here's my first heading. Being offended is, what do you reckon? Inevitable. Being offended is inevitable. It's just part of who we are as humans, part of our human interactions. Today we're going to think about how do you respond. What are right and wrong ways to respond when you are offended? And particularly, what are right and ways to respond when it's God's word or the words of his son Jesus that cause offense or cause you to feel uncomfortable? So that's sort of where we're going. And I think it's a very apt word for our community and for us today. So we're in Matthew's biography, chapter 15. Please turn up your Bibles there to Matthew chapter 15. And there are these two interactions of Jesus that we're going to focus on that Laura read out for us just a moment ago. Firstly, Jesus offends the Pharisees. Verse 12, the disciples come up to Jesus after Jesus has said something and they say, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" It's like the Pharisees have been offended and the disciples are going, "Do you know that what you said offended them?" Now, here is a question. What did Jesus say that had offended the Pharisees? Quick word to the person next to you. You've got to work with the person next to you. What did Jesus say that had offended the Pharisees? Okay, any thoughts out there? What did he say? He called them hypocrites. So that would be hard not to be offended if someone calls you a hypocrite. So now you might remember a few weeks ago the whole sermon was on hypocrisy, and a hypocrite was an actor, literally someone who hides behind a mask or who pretends to be one thing, but you take the mask away and you realize, oh, that they are something else completely. So the Pharisees were those who were pretending to be godly, but in fact they were on about themselves, and they were actually inwardly corrupt. So verse 8, have a look there. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Now, if you're anything like me, there's nothing offensive so far in that, right? I love Jesus offending the Pharisees. I feel like cheering him on because I despise hypocrisy. And I take it most of you do because most of you are Aussies. And when they surveyed Aussies last year, they found that hypocrisy was one of the biggest problems people have with religion. Australians just don't like hypocrisy. And so at this point, we're quite happy to hear Jesus offend the Pharisees. Yeah? I am, anyway. Because hypocrisy is one of those things that ought to be exposed, especially when people are going around pretending to be so much better. There's a sense of satisfaction when they are exposed for who they really are, even at the risk of them taking offense. So, the next question is this. Why were the disciples concerned about offending the Pharisees? Why do you reckon they were concerned about it? What's that? So the Pharisees were the leaders, yeah? So the key word I reckon that captures it is fear. Fear because the Pharisees were part of the cultural elite. Their opinion mattered. And if you got offside with the Pharisees, you could be publicly shamed. You could actually be pushed to the edges of social life and excluded from the social life of Israel. And there is being publicly shamed is one of the most horrendous things to have to experience. But the Pharisees were also powerful and well-connected. And so getting offside with the Pharisees was actually dangerous. And Jesus will find that in the days and years to come when they will conspire with Herod, with the religious leaders, and they will crucify Jesus because he had offended them. And so it's a risky business to offend the Pharisees. You can understand why the disciples were anxious about it. But I just want to point out, it's interesting, In every generation, there are some people we work hard at not offending. Right? In every generation, there are some people we're more than happy to offend, but there are some people that we work very hard not to offend. We are actually very inconsistent in this matter. And it's because of fear. Right? So in many countries, Christians fear being persecuted, being physically harmed. But here in Australia, I think the biggest fear is social exclusion, being publicly shamed. And social media just brings that to a whole nother level, doesn't it? The risk of being outed and publicly shamed and having your reputation damaged. And that causes people to remain silent even when they should speak. So, was Jesus right to risk offending the Pharisees? What do you reckon? Was he right? Yes. It's hard to argue no, surely, right? Especially if you're Christian and you follow Jesus, your Lord. To say no, we've got problems at this point, right? So yes, he was right to risk offending the Pharisees. And even after he becomes aware that the Pharisees are offended, notice he continues on. So verse 13. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Right, so, and he's talking about at the last day, at the judgment, God will actually rip out and destroy anything that is not genuine. And so he's talking about the final judgment. He's aware of the final judgment, and that gave Jesus courage and conviction to speak out. But verse 14 is very helpful as well, and very potentially offensive. He says, leave them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Right? And we know this phrase, don't we? The blind leading the blind. It comes from Jesus. But the whole idea is the Pharisees were those who were entrusted with the word of God by God. God had given them the word of God. And their role in life was to be guides, was to instruct people in the way of God, was to lead people to salvation, was to bring sinners to repentance and hope and joy and so on. That was their job. They were guides. But Jesus is saying, the problem is they're blind themselves. They're blind guides. And so anyone who follows them is just going to be led to destruction. That is why Jesus spoke out to expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. That is why he will speak out again and again, because they're not only harming themselves, they are also harming all those who would follow them. Yeah? They were leading people astray and jeopardizing people's eternal salvation. That is why Jesus had to speak. He was compelled to speak. The Pharisees needed to be exposed before they led more and more people away from God. See, sometimes it is right to risk offending people, especially when the truth and when salvation is at stake. And now, do you agree with that? Okay, have a think about that. Now, when Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, we need to make sure we're not falling into the same hypocrisy ourselves. So I want to pick up on three examples of hypocrisy that Jesus touches on here in this passage. And we just need to do a cross-check against ourselves on these three things. So the first one is being more concerned about external cleansing than having a clean heart. So that's where it all starts in verse 2. The Pharisees were all hung up about these religious rituals that they did. Verse 2, they're complaining, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, the Pharisees here were not concerned about hygiene, right? I don't know how much they knew about hygiene, but that's not their concern. Their concern is spiritual cleanliness. There was actually a belief that external cleansing could actually make you right in the sight of God, or cleanse you in the sight of God. Now listen to what Jesus says. Verse 10. Listen and understand. Verse 11. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. still a little bit enigmatic at this point, but then Jesus will close it out because they'll say, well, look, we don't understand. Can you explain this parable to us? So verse 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Profound insight, and when you reflect on it, you know that it's true. It's just hard to accept. I've noticed this increasing trend in our society for people to excuse their sin. In fact, I don't hear the word sin anymore much at all, even amongst Christians. So I hear the word, you know, like I hear people say, oh, I had a brain snap. You know, I made an error of judgment. So just take that brain snap. I had a brain snap. What you're saying with a brain snap is it's totally out of character with who I really am. It's just it's a blip. It's a one-off. Or I had a brain snap. Or I was under a lot of pressure. You know, there was lots of things happening. What we do, can you see what we're doing? We blame external factors. And we say there's just a whole lot of external factors that contributed. What I did doesn't actually represent who I am. And we do that because of pride, don't we? We want to protect something of the essence of who we are. So we say all these other things are to blame, but ultimately it didn't come from me. And Jesus says, no, you haven't understood yourself if you think it's all those externals. Sin actually comes from the heart. Immoral thoughts, adultery, they come from the heart. And so what we need is humility to recognize this. It does take humility, doesn't it, to recognize I actually have a heart problem. There's actually something about me that needs a depth of cleansing that I cannot bring about myself. I have a heart problem. I did the wrong thing. See, how satisfying is it when someone says, they do the wrong thing to you and they say, I had a brain snap. Right? Or if someone said, I am so sorry, I did the wrong thing and I've asked God to forgive me. I've asked God to cleanse me and change me, but I ask you as well if you could forgive me, please. Now, that's a bit more satisfying, isn't it? But it's far more vulnerable because you're actually exposing something of yourself and something of your character. But that is the humility that we need and that Jesus is driving us towards. Second example of hypocrisy. Pretending to be devoted to God, but dishonoring your parents. See, the Pharisees were encouraging young adults to be full on for God. You know, they had their young disciples and they were wanting them to be full on for God and to not be distracted or held back by having to do stuff for your parents. And Jesus says, well, if you're full on for God, you will honor your parents. It's actually a package deal. Someone who's full on for God will honor God's word that says, honor your parents. Verse 4, God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. So just there's another clarification. In our devotion to God, we must not neglect loving and honoring and taking care of our parents. Third example of hypocrisy is religious traditions that neglect the clear word of God. So this is in verse 3. Jesus replies, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Or verse 6, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. See, the Bible is the word of God. Right? This is, we have confidence. These are the words that God has given us. He breathes life through his spirit to apply these words to our hearts. They are given to us by our Creator God who loves us and who has adopted us. But sometimes when we hear God's word, it is difficult to hear. Yeah? Sometimes God's word addresses stuff in our lives that we don't want to deal with. It exposes sin. It damages our pride, our self-esteem. Sometimes God's word cuts against our culture, and it forces us to have that uncomfortable choice. Will I go with the crowd? Will I go with what's socially, publicly acceptable? Or will I go with Jesus? Will I go with God? And we feel like... So the temptation when God's word is hard to hear is to avoid listening to it. To sidestep the parts of the Bible we find uncomfortable. Now, what a danger that is. What an insult to God for him to give us his gracious, loving word as our Heavenly Father who loves us, who has saved us, to refuse to hear parts of his word. That is a terrible thing. We must not come to that point. We must not allow our pride or prejudices or fears to stop us listening to the word of God. What we need, again, is humility to listen. Humility to trust God that even though this word is hard to hear, it's from my loving Heavenly Father. And when God wounds me with his word, he does it not to harm me, but to heal me. Right? So when God's word cuts to the heart, he does it to bring healing and restoration, not to hurt me. Tragically, the Pharisees chose to be offended by the words of Jesus. Tragically, they chose to neglect the word of God and create their own traditions. Instead of humility and repentance, they hardened their hearts to the words of God, to the words of Jesus, and they took offense. Now, what a contrast to them is this Canaanite woman in the second incident, right? So Jesus blanks a Canaanite woman. What word would you use to fill in the blank? Jesus blanks a Canaanite woman. He offends a Canaanite woman. He certainly risked offending her, didn't he? Look at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So that's modern-day Lebanon. And a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord." Now, just pause there. Throughout the Old Testament, the Canaanites were the enemies of God's people. And God had patience on them for centuries before ultimately his judgment came on them because of the incredible evil that the Canaanite people had perpetrated. Now, so here is a woman who's a Canaanite who belongs to those who were traditionally the enemies of God and his people. But this Canaanite woman displays a humility, doesn't she? She cries out, verse 22, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." But Jesus did not answer a word. So she persists. She keeps on chasing up to him to the point where the disciples, they plead with Jesus, "Look, just send her away. She's really getting on our nerves." And then the woman comes in front of Jesus, kneels before him and says, "Lord, help me." And Jesus' reply at this point is staggering. Where is it? Jesus' reply, verse 26, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now, how would you go if you were the Canaanite woman at this point? Like, I reckon most of it, I was surprised as the Bible reading was being read that you didn't gasp in shock. Maybe you've heard the passage before, but there's something breathtaking about it, isn't there? Especially in a politically correct culture. We're used to Jesus speaking in parables, in riddles, but it doesn't take too much to figure this riddle out, does it? That is, the children are the people of Israel and the dogs are the other nations, including the Canaanites. How would you have gone if Jesus had said this to you and you were the Canaanite coming up to seek him for his help? It would have been so easy for this woman to hear Jesus and walk away deeply offended. Who does that racist Jew think he is? How dare he? He just called me a dog, you know. And you can just, it would have been so easy for her to be utterly outraged and offended. But instead, she comes up with this profound reply, which is brilliant, brilliant, right? So Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And she replies, yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed at that moment. So easy for this woman to have been offended, but there's actually a different word to fill in the blank, isn't there? It's not the word offend, it's the word bless. Jesus blesses a Canaanite woman. This woman receives blessing from Jesus because she chose not to be offended. It's got me thinking about the type of person who is most easily offended. Have a quick word to the person next to you. Who is... got to be careful here that we don't become too judgmental. Maybe speak about yourself if you're... But what type of people is most easily offended? You could talk to the person next to you. Okay, there you go. It's got you thinking. You don't need to say anything just yet. Think about this scenario. Someone serves up a plate of food. What person is most likely to be offended? Now, I've found something on television to show you. So have a look at this. See what you think. I think.
It excites me when you think so.
Fail. I pack better lunches for my 3-year-old son's daycare.
It was horrible and I have to walk around with this breath for the rest of the night.
It's ruined my wine. That's always, always a negative for me. Like I've offended myself with my breath.
His eyebrows just curled.
Okay, so there you go. What type of person is most likely to be offended by the food that is served up to them, say in a restaurant? A chef. Someone who's spoiled, yeah? Someone who's privileged, someone who thinks they deserve better, someone who's arrogant, proud, all those things, yeah? But if you're desperate, you're far less likely to complain, aren't you? If you're starving to death and someone gives you a bowl of rice, you're not going to have a whinge about how it's plated up. You know, it wasn't plated up with love. You know, where's the garnishing? Where's the hero of the dish? There's none of that because you're desperate and this food is what you need and you are grateful to receive it. It's the same when it comes to Jesus. If you're proud and self-satisfied and feel like you deserve the world, you're much more likely to be offended by Jesus in a whole range of ways. But if you're desperate and broken and seeking forgiveness, and that is where we all should be, desperate, broken, and seeking forgiveness, then you'll cling to Jesus as your only hope, like this woman. You'll chase him for blessing because you know he is good and you know he is the one who can help you. See, this interaction between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, well, it reminds me of a scene from The Shawshank Redemption. There you go. So this is Andy on the left, right, and Tommy on the left. And Andy's the main character and Tommy's this young, arrogant little punk sort of guy. But he's trying to sort of, you know, make a go in life and he's trying to study his school exams. And so he asks Andy to help him pass his school exams. And Andy replies, I don't waste time on losers, Tommy. And you go, whoa, you know, And you hear that comment, if you heard that comment in isolation, you could think that Andy is this judgmental jerk, and you just go, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with him. And there's a danger of Tommy just going, just taking offense and just going, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with him. But it's a real opportunity for Tommy to work out what path is he going to walk. Because we know from watching the movie that it doesn't fit with the Andy that we know, yeah? We know Andy's a good guy. And as you keep watching the movie, you realise the comment is a challenge to Tommy. The way everyone else thinks is that he's a loser. Is he going to prove them wrong? Is he actually going to, you know, accept the challenge and pursue education, even if other people are calling him a loser? Something like that going on. Now, in Jesus' interaction with this Canaanite woman, Jesus uses the label that lots of Jews used for Gentiles, dogs. But clearly, Jesus didn't think of her in a demeaning way at all himself. She goes away, blessed by Jesus. And we, like Jesus, are left impressed by this woman. And all of Jesus' interactions end up the same. So I don't know exactly what's going on. Is he teaching his disciples something? Is he... I don't know exactly what was going on in Jesus' thinking. But she walks away blessed by Jesus at the end of the day. And all of Jesus' interactions ends up the same. He persistently shows great care for the outcast, the broken, the sinner, the foreigner. And I was thinking, can you guys think of another Canaanite woman in the Bible? There's another really famous one. Oh, no, she was a Samaritan woman. So, Rahab. So when they come into the promised land and they're meant to destroy the Canaanites, there is this one Canaanite woman, a prostitute, who throws herself on the mercy of God and who says, I want to align with the God of Israel. And you expect judgment to come on her, but she and her family are saved. That is the character of God, and we see it again here with this Canaanite woman that Jesus meets. A couple more things to say. There is a truth contained in the riddle about dogs and children, isn't there? There's a truth in it, and that is Jesus came first for the Jews, but as this woman has recognized, the blessings of Jesus the Messiah were always intended by God to spill over, to actually pour out onto all nations. And she knows that blessing of the Messiah will come to her, and she's just asking for a piece of the action. The final thing about this Canaanite woman is that she highlights just how godless the Pharisees were, doesn't she? The Pharisees, in their pride, were so quick to take offense at Jesus. They hated Jesus for no good reason. They should have repented. They should have heard the words of Jesus and gone, yes, you're right. We have been hypocrites. Please forgive us. But of course, they're too proud and arrogant and stubborn and hard-hearted to do that. And yet, this woman, she had more reason to take offense, didn't she? But instead, she listened. She pursues Jesus. She pursues blessings from him. And she is the first person so far in Matthew's gospel to understand one of Jesus' parables without him having to explain it. You know, the parable of the children and the dogs? She's straight onto it. There's something really impressive about her faith. One of the most impressive people Jesus meets in his ministry. I want to finish up by asking just one question. Will you be offended or blessed by Jesus? Will you be offended or blessed by Jesus? See, you actually have a choice. Every time we open up the Word of God, we have a choice. Will I take offense? Because there'll be things there that will be hard for me to hear. Will I take offense, or will I pursue the Word of God? Because that is where blessing, that is where I'm going to be fed and nourished by my Heavenly Father. Now, I want to acknowledge, like I did at the start, we're living in a culture where so many people are so quick to take offense. And I just want to give a word of advice for our church community let's be careful, right, in our words. Right? Let's not use our words carelessly. Let's not thoughtlessly hurt each other with our words. Right? Let's take a bit of responsibility for what we say and how we say it. But on the other hand, let's not be quick to take offense. Let's learn just to let some things go, to not join the dots of, oh, they might be thinking this, this, and this. Let's just think graciously and give grace to one another. But I want to say, especially when it comes to listening to God and his son Jesus, we've got to put aside pride. Got to put aside that pride that puts up the barriers to us hearing his word, and humbly listen, humbly acknowledge our sin, our need for forgiveness and cleansing and change. So I'm going to pray to that end right now. Will you pray with me? God our Father, we are sorry for our pride, for the sin, rebelliousness in our hearts, for our self-centeredness, for our hard-heartedness. We are sorry even for the way that we resist hearing your word in our lives, because we fear that it might wound us. Our Father, we want you to help us to acknowledge our desperate need for forgiveness. Please forgive us. Please cleanse us. Cleanse our hearts. Soften our hearts to hear your word. Please do a work in our hearts by your Spirit. And help us to love you. Help us to honor our parents. Keep us from hypocrisy of every kind. Help us to be people of integrity and genuine love. Help us to guard our lips. Help us to not be careless and cause unnecessary offense. Help us to learn when to speak out. Give us wisdom to know when things need to be spoken and exposed and when corruption needs to be addressed. And help us to be humble and gracious, not quick to take offense, but quick to listen, quick to forgive. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we sing our last song, some bags will come around. And that's a great opportunity, if you're visiting, to put in that welcome slip and just let us know you're here so we can make you feel welcome.